What's going on, folks? Welcome to episode 18 of the Next Man Up Injury Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Allen, and I'm joined once again by the marvelous dynamic duo of Eric Creel and Matthew Walters. Gentlemen, after tonight, we are saying goodbye to the hurdles of bye weeks, and it's playoff time for fantasy football. Shout out whoever's about to get arrested in Washington, D.C. and or going to the hospital.
It's just my neighbor.
Prayers for your safety, sir.
Into the mean streets.
It's amazing.
What a start. Matthew, we're heading into the playoffs. Do you need a Monday Night Miracle tonight to make the playoffs, or are you all squared away already?
So actually, in one of my leagues, we only four teams make the playoffs. So actually, the regular season runs until next week. Ooh. But if I don't get 61 points from Kyler Murray, Cooper Kupp, and Matt Gay, the Rams kicker, then I will be eliminated from the playoffs because no matter what happens next week, I won't be able to get in. Because next week, it's actually me and the fourth place team play each other. So whoever wins that would win it. And so this week, I'm playing against, of course, the one person that scored the most points in the league so far this week.
Naturally. So, that's how
here's hoping I become the person that scores the most points
if
in the league.
There was a duo that I needed to combine for an ungodly amount of points. Kyler Murray and Cooper Kupp would be high on my
honestly.
List. And hey, so, throw in a kicker. You never know. You might get a lucky 8 to 12 points out of that. Eric, as we all know, you're still undefeated in every single league to this point. Congratulations on clinching first round byes across the board.
Thank you. All seven leagues.
Yeah, any lineups that you're really struggling with, any injury-riddled lineups that you're worried about?
I did have Lamar Jackson in one league, but thankfully I had the second-best quarterback in that league also, so we're smooth sailing.
We'll find. Of course, that's the one, you know, one quarterback league that you're in.
Yeah.
Well, if it's any consolation, I have both Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson in one league when I'm going to make the playoffs, so we'll see how that goes. But we'll talk about that in just a minute. Because we're here to talk about injuries, as we all know. An injured player doesn't do a whole lot for your team when they're riding on the bench or worse, on the IR, but that's where we come in. We're here to help you figure out who to replace them with and who you can rely on, especially heading into the playoffs. We always say that the best ability is availability, so let's talk about who's going to be ready to go for you. Starting off quarterbacks, for the sake of organization, we always go by position. So one of the biggest, most upsetting injuries for me personally and for fantasy football managers, I'm sure across the board, was Lamar Jackson this week. Went down with a right ankle injury, Eric. What's the latest out of Baltimore?
Yeah, this was a weird injury. And, you know, at first glance from the video, you couldn't really tell if it was going to be knee or ankle or how severe it was, because Lamar really wasn't putting a lot of weight on that ankle. But, you know, you could see from some of the video that Lamar was coming in from the locker room wearing a very low boot brace. And that's going to indicate to us that, you know, it's probably a low ankle sprain rather than a high ankle sprain. And we know that these are generally easier to come back from. You know, context is important here, where the team is hanging on by a thread with their lead in the division. My guess is that they're going to jerry-rig a brace or do lots of tape to help Lamar feel comfortable enough to play through, you know, what could be some remaining pain and participate in this next coming week. But I mean, fantasy managers, they like Lamar for his rushing upside, not necessarily his passing upside. So, you know, I'd be wary of playing him in his first game back, whenever that is. But, you know, I think that he will come back this week, if not next week.
Yeah, we talk about the Konami code quarterbacks a lot, whether you have both the passing and the rushing upside. And Lamar Jackson is first and foremost on that list for most people. So zapping his mobility will certainly be a hamper on his fantasy value, even if he is able to play. So something to watch out of Baltimore. The next man up, obviously, will be Tyler Huntley. He came in relief for him. Wasn't enough to get it done this week, but in the past, he's had a decent, you know, he was decent for fantasy purposes. He's kind of the same style, obviously not as gifted as Lamar Jackson, but somebody that, if I need a stash and I'm really thin at quarterback, he's somebody that I wouldn't mind picking up on waivers this week just as a just in case. Josh Allen out of Buffalo, Matthew, was seen in a walking boot, has a turf toe injury. What's going on with him? We think he's going to be available?
So we shall see. Reportedly, it's just a mild case of turf toe. And for those of you, if you don't know what turf toe is, basically our big toe, when it goes into extension, so basically anytime we're stepping and running and planting on it, it's a term for it's painful when we do that, basically. It's kind of just the broad overview of what could be wrong there. There's multiple structures that actually could be involved. But yeah, at any time, especially when a mobile quarterback has a case of turf toe, it is very concerning because Josh Allen does like to run. We'll have to kind of wait and see how he progresses through the week. And there's some things you can do to kind of help. There's like a steel plate you can put in the bottom of a shoe that kind of helps the toe from going into that position. There's some tape jobs you can do to help the toe stopping the toe from going in that position. So I don't think he'll miss any time with it, especially with them trying so hard to fight for the playoffs right now. And, I think they'll still be throwing the ball a ton. However, I would not be surprised if it limits his rushing ability quite a bit.
Yeah, it's another one of those quarterbacks like Lamar Jackson where his rushing upside is so valuable, if not for volume, just for his rushing touchdown upside. They don't have a stellar option at running back, really, especially near the goal line, and he's just consistently able to get it done. If he's not able to go, Mitch Trubisky could we could have a Mitch Trubisky sighting. Something I'm sure Chicago Bears fans are oh so excited to see. Eric, I'm going to let you talk about your Washington football team here and Taylor Heinicke dealing with a knee injury. Apparently the severity is kind of up in the air. What do you know? Do you have an inside edge?
Well, I mean, there's been lots of optimism from both the coaches and Heinicke himself and just in how they're talking about the injury and, you know, the likelihood that Heinicke could play next week. But, you know, when you watch the video, the play itself, I don't think looked that bad. He had a defender kind of fall through his offensive lineman, and it clipped his knee for a moment. My guess is that it's some kind of low-grade sprain or strain. This might be another case, you know, kind of similar to Lamar, where they brace him up and they send him out there to compete for, you know, a wild card playoff spot. But, you know, right now our offensive line is really having a hard time. I think we're down to a couple third stringers, so. You know, his mobility is going to be a big factor in his ability to be productive. And I think he's going to be tough to trust going forward. But I do think that he'll be able to play next week. If not, you know, worst case scenario, the week following.
Yeah. And if not, not me, but you might see Kyle Allen out there. And I know that's always
stud.
As JJ would say, it's never a good thing when Kyle Allen's coming into the game. And that's really all you need to know about that QB situation. Washington's offense really just looked out of sorts without Heinicke in the game this week. Obviously, Ryan Fitzpatrick is still dealing with his hip injury. It's quite unlikely that we'll see him come back anytime soon. So I'm steering clear of this offense pretty much exclusively at this point. Speaking of dysfunctional offenses, our last quarterback with some news this week, Daniel Jones, still dealing with a neck injury. Matthew, do we have any updates or new findings on him?
I have a coach's quote, which is always fun.
Ooh, we love coach speak. We love coach speak.
So here we go. Let's try to dissect this one. they were asked about, so the coach, what is Coach Judge? Is that the New York coach? Okay. So he was asked about Daniel Jones possibly returning and how the neck's doing and everything. He said, and I quote, "I have nothing less optimistic about him, if that makes sense. I have no information to tell me it's going in a different direction."
A different direction from what?
I have no idea what that means. So I really don't have an update on. No, Coach Judge, that does not make sense at all. But at the end of the day, it was a neck strain, which means one of the muscles was strained in his neck. Those can take some time to recover from, but we'll just kind of have to wait and see how it goes. They don't look great without him out there. They don't really look great with him out there, but that's a different story. So we'll see.
Yeah, we always love a coach quote, especially ones that confusing. I have no idea what that's supposed to mean. Maybe we'll have to employ a jury to break down what the judge had to say.
Ooh, that's spicy.
Sorry, that was awful. All righty. if he's unable to go, it's still going to be Mike Glennon at the helm for New York. Does not excite me at all for really any fantasy purposes. I'd much rather take a shot on Tyler Huntley and his running upside in Baltimore. All righty, moving on to the running backs. not a ton of new news, but some big names on the injury report this week. We'll kick it off with Kareem Hunt in Cleveland. Now, he was able to return a couple of weeks ago, then had a bye week, and then was back in action this week. However, Eric, he has suffered a new injury to that ankle. What's the latest out of Cleveland?
Yeah, this was really just an unlucky injury. He just had his ankle rolled up on during a tackle in the open field. And, you know, this is the kind of injury where every day matters in recovery and in post-injury performance. You know, I'm not hearing a lot of optimism coming out of camp. It's still really early, but, you know, it sounds like he's not going to be able to play this next coming week. And I don't really think it would be that smart either, considering the nature of the injury. My guess is that he comes back, you know, sometime in the next 2 weeks. I think they're going to need him if they're really going to be serious about competing for the playoffs.
Yeah. So if you have Kareem Hunt on your roster, you were looking forward to him for the playoffs. That's a big bummer. Obviously, Nick Chubb is the running back to roster out of Cleveland. You're likely not picking him up off of waivers. But if for some reason he's available, I would recommend using all funds available to acquire him. Hard hitting analysis, I know. Alrighty. Dallas, their running back room, I'm honestly confused by the usage this week, but no Tony Pollard this week, Matthew. He's dealing with a foot injury. Do we think he's going to be ready to go next week?
So I don't really think he'll be ready to go. We'll kind of have to wait and see. Tony Pollard, what he did was he tore the plantar fascia on the bottom of his foot. And what that is, it's kind of a ligamentous structure that helps support your arch and everything. Now, he fully tore it, which is supposedly is better to recover from. But because of that, I don't think he'll be back this next week. But he hasn't also been put on IR. So that leads me to believe if he's not back this week, that he'll be back next week. He definitely looks to be the more explosive player out of the backfield for Dallas recently, with Zeke kind of struggling with his own little knee issue there. So we'll see. I mean, if he starts logging some full practices this week, then all right, let's go Tony Pollard. But it's early in the week. It's hard to tell at this point exactly, but I would doubt he plays this week.
Yeah, Zeke hasn't really looked the same since their bye week. Before the bye, he was doing great. He was getting a lot more usage than he has been, and he was producing a lot better. Since then, I don't think he's gotten 70% of the snap counts. I would have to go back and double check that. But since the bye week, I don't think he has. And before, he was getting 75-80+% of the snap counts and doing well. The confusing thing in this offense for me is this week, Corey Clement out-touched Zeke Elliott. Just like forgot Corey Clement was even in the league. Now it was by one, and Zeke out-snapped him like 66% to 34, whatever the math is on that.
I will say, I think a lot of that was game script. They were up fairly big, and then Washington kind of came back, and you saw when Washington kind of came back, Zeke was back in,
yeah,
back in the game. So I think they kind of thought they had a good cushion and could just rest him the rest of the way, and then it didn't really work out that way. But
yeah, and that's definitely smart, especially with a, you know, a veteran running back that's already a little bit dinged up. There's no sense in running him out there when you're up, you know, three or four scores. So that's an excellent point, but still something to monitor. Neither of them really did great. Neither of them found the end zone. It was kind of the Dak Prescott show in Dallas this week. Moving on to Denver, Melvin Gordon, he was recently on the injury report with hip and shoulder issues. Those were clearly no problems. He went bananas this week, scoring two touchdowns, racking up a ton of yardage. But now apparently he's suffering from a sprained thumb. Eric, can you tell us anything about that?
Yeah, I mean, this is the kind of injury that NFL players play through all the time. You know, I think that Melvin Gordon's going to be available this next week. He may come on the field with some additional tape on his thumb to prevent further injury. You know, functionally, he might have a greater chance of fumbling due to issues gripping, but, you know, he should remain a thorn in Javonte's paw next week as, you know, they play side by side and start splitting snaps again.
Yeah, that's an excellent point for them splitting snaps. But I mean, you saw this week, both of them were able to find the end zone. I believe both of them were over 100 yards from scrimmage, if not if Javonte wasn't, he was close. I mean,
and two
both
touchdowns
of them,
each. Yeah,
both of them were very serviceable for fantasy purposes, and I feel like that's the same thing going forward. I'm comfortable starting either of them. And if Melvin Gordon does end up coming back to Denver next year, I would venture to say that that tandem is right up there with any of the great running back tandems in the NFL. Cleveland comes to mind, but obviously they've got to stay healthy in order to do that. This tandem's probably one of the best out there right now that's healthy. Moving on to the Chargers. Sorry, I totally lost my spot in the document there. Austin Eckler, Matthew, dealing with an ankle injury. Not what you want to see out of one of the top options at running back. What's going on there?
So, yeah, he sprained his ankle a little bit. Now, supposedly they're saying he's going to be fine moving forward and that he actually could have returned to the game if they really needed him to. So that's all positive news. If you saw the game, he had almost a cast on his ankle slash cleat where they were taping it up, which personally I kind of have issues with, but we won't really get into that. But yeah, I think he'll be fine moving forward. He'll log a couple limited practices this week and then he'll play on Sunday. They don't feel particularly good about the running backs behind him there. Yeah. So we'll see, but I think he'll play.
Yeah, it was a fairly even split between Justin Jackson and Joshua Kelly, but neither of them were spectacular options for fantasy and not really ones that I'm looking to pick up with any aggression on the waiver wire at all. New England was on a bye week this week. Damian Harris had a hamstring injury in week 13 against the Bills on that frigid Monday night game. Eric, do we have any updates on his hamstring injury? I know this is your forte.
Yeah, I mean, this is a tricky one because of the nature of the injury. And, you know, if no one has listened to this podcast yet, if this is your first episode, then we take hamstring injuries very seriously.
And if this is your first episode, I'm sorry that you've missed out on the fun to this point.
That's right. Well, you know, I think that there are some things that you can read between the lines on for this player. You know, it's not really a good sign that he was taken out of the game so abruptly when he did play 2 weeks ago. And that's one indication of its severity. This is the kind of injury that could last anywhere from 2 weeks to maybe 6 or 8. He's on a short week this week. They play the Colts on Saturday. So, you know, you're going to need to see as a fantasy manager, Damian Harris, you know, string together a couple limited practices on the injury report this week in order for you to A, trust him playing, and, you know, B, trust him to actually perform well when he does play. You know, a little context is important with this injury where the Patriots aren't the kind of team to be dependent on a single running back to carry the load, you know, so I'm not that optimistic that they'll be in any rush to rush this player back. And even if he does play, for them to give him, you know, a workable, you know, workload. You know, I mean, right now the Patriots are a team that are looking ahead towards the playoffs. So, you know, I think it's realistic that they give Damian Harris, you know, another week of rest, which is what he really needs.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if they rest him or limit him this week. As you alluded to, they're very much a team that believes in the running back by committee. And they've, luckily, with James White's injury and Damian Harris having his own injuries here and there this season, they've been lucky to get great production out of Brandon Bolden, who's career-wise, he's been more of a special teamer, a deep backup at running back, hasn't really got a lot of starting run, but he's looked pretty good this year. And then the rookie Ramondre Stevenson has just kind of burst onto the scene. When he's gotten a good share of the snaps, he's produced. So that tandem will certainly be one to watch in New England this week, but kind of flip a coin on which one will be the one that ends up producing well for fantasy. I think it's more of a touchdown upside kind of dart throw on those two. Daryl Henderson, Matthew, we know he was dealing with a quad injury and it was looking like he was trending towards potentially playing, and then he ends up getting added to the COVID reserve list. So what's the likelihood that he's ready to go next week? Obviously, he's not going this week. I'm expecting to see a heavy dose of Sony Michel this night or tonight. What's the likelihood that Daryl Henderson's able to be ready for next week?
So, yeah, I think the quad is fine. I think it all just depends on clearing COVID now, which I forget which day he got put on the COVID list exactly, but it was sort of later.
Saturday. It was.
Yeah, it was late in the week, right? So it's pretty late in the leak, and so it's going to really depend on if he's vaccinated or not vaccinated, because that changes the protocol for the NFL and if he can test negative or not. I believe if he is not vaccinated, that it's 10 days pretty much no matter what. So that would I think that makes it where he can't clear protocol by next Sunday. Now, if he is vaccinated, that just means he didn't clear it yet. He's got to test negative twice, 24 hours apart, which is very possible throughout the week. So that's kind of where we're at with it. We don't have the information one way or another if it's if he's vaccinated or unvaccinated. So we'll just kind of have to wait and see if there starts to be some rumblings of him possibly clearing the protocol or not. But if we find out that he's not vaccinated, then there's no way he's going to clear by next Sunday.
Yeah, so want to monitor. It's really just going to depend on that status, which I don't know either. But it's going to depend on that status and testing. So just want to monitor if you have Daryl Henderson in your lineups. If Sony Michel's still out there, especially after this week, if he does well, I would try very hard to pick him up, especially if you have Daryl Henderson. He's an excellent handcuffed option. He's produced well whenever he's gotten the starting run there. Miles Sanders, Eric, he's somebody we've talked about a couple of times this year. Still dealing with that ankle injury. Any news there? Any updates?
No. And, you know, frankly, this is the kind of injury that has a high recurrence rate. And, you know, every time you re-injure it this way, your performance also decreases in the short term. So, you know, Miles Sanders hasn't been a very productive back at all this year. You haven't been able to trust him. So, you know, even when he does come back, I'm not sure that I would be too eager to be putting him in my lineup, especially since I'm in the playoffs in every one of my leagues.
Yeah, I mean, great to be in for you, but unfortunately, that's not a reality for all of us. Miles Sanders, he's never been one I've been super high on. I've always looked at him as kind of like dollar store Saquon. It's like you can rely on him to have one or two big games a year instead of, you know, seven or eight big games a year where he just has like several breakaway plays. He's just like
penny store Saquon.
He's a dart throw. He really is. Matthew, Elijah Mitchell still dealing with the concussion. Do we know when he may be ready to come back?
I would think he's ready to come back this week. Once again, concussions are nonlinear, though, so it's hard to really pinpoint an exact date on when they'll return. It's all a matter of if they clear the steps to return from it, which he didn't last week. But I would imagine he does this week. Once again, concussions more than probably any other injury, in my opinion. Practice reports matter more for, because if he's logging full participation by the end, at least the end of the week, then he's on track to play. If he only logs no participation or limited participation all week, then that's a pretty good sign that he probably won't play. So more so than anything else, it's important to keep an eye on practice reports for a concussion. I would imagine he clears protocol this week, but we'll just kind of have to wait and see.
Yeah, and if he can't, it'll likely be Jeff Wilson starting again there. The 2 weeks when Jeff Wilson's got over 50% of the snap counts at running back, he's gone over 50 yards, but failed to find the end zone, doesn't really do a lot in the passing game, so his upside's really limited. He's really just a desperation option, but not somebody I'm super excited about. That's really all we got for running backs. Keep an eye out for those that are on IR that may be coming back. I know Michael Carter is eligible to come back off of IR, and he was able to string together a couple of decent weeks for New York, but it'll be interesting to see what he can do coming back for that team. Moving on to wide receivers, we've got DJ Moore first in Carolina. Eric, dealing with a knee injury, what's going on?
Yeah, I mean, I think that this is being formally discussed as a hamstring injury. And, you know, I mean, we take hamstring injuries pretty seriously, but the language coming out of his camp has me pretty optimistic about his availability this week. You know, he also played the majority of the game, which is another good sign. So I think that it is possible that he plays this week. But frankly, you know, hamstring injuries are more than just black and white. You can suit up for the game or not, but performance measures like acceleration, deceleration, burst are all going to be limited. So, you know, even if DJ Moore does suit up, I think that we need to temper our expectations for him and his performance this week.
Yeah, certainly something to watch. You never like to see a player of his caliber go down with a soft tissue injury because those are so finicky and fickle. If he's unable to go, Robbie Anderson, obviously the starting option there at wide receiver. But if you're in a really deep league and looking for wide receiver help, Brandon Zylstra filled in as the second leading receiver for Carolina this week and actually looked fairly decent.
How sad is it that that wasn't Terrace Marshall?
Yeah, that was devastating to me.
Is he the next Denzel Mims? Seriously,
I'm very excited for Terrace Marshall coming in this year, and he's just not seeing the field. Did he even have a target this week? I'd have to look back, but when I looked, I don't think he put up a stat.
I don't know if he had. I don't know if he had a target. Supposedly, he was like wide open on one play, and Cam Newton didn't throw in the ball. I don't know. I wasn't watching that game. Yeah,
sorry, I just had some, you know. Had a little sneeze.
Yeah, already, speaking of, Sam Darnold's getting his job back. There's no question in my mind at this point.
Yeah, I just went ahead and wiped that from the QB injury news because I feel like it's a moot point. Matthew, Keenan Allen on the COVID list. I was optimistic that he'd be able to play, but couldn't quite make it in time. Is he somebody you're looking at, like most likely going to clear protocol this week?
He's expected to clear protocol. And with that, I would temper expectations on him, though, because you've seen it. They're the Thursday night game. Mm-hmm. So if he clears it, he's going to be clearing it pretty much maybe a day or two before. You would think he's trying to stay in shape, but also if he's having symptoms, you might not be able to really work out and stuff. We saw it with Amari Cooper when he came back, that they kind of had him on a pitch count, possibly seeing something similar. But I mean, if Keenan Allen's active, you're probably playing him, but just need to temper the expectations some coming off the COVID list.
Yeah, it's kind of like Dalvin Cook last week. It's hard to bench that kind of talent if you know they're going to get a full workload, but you'll kind of have to watch the practice reports, listen to what the coaches are saying. If they say he's going to be on a snap count, it's kind of risky, especially at wide receiver. Running back is one of those positions where it's like, okay, if you're on a snap count, you know, when you're in the game, you're going to get touches. But wide receiver, you know, you can run a route and not get a target. If you're cutting eight targets in half to four and that six receptions is going down to three, they're really going to have to capitalize. But somebody like Keenan Allen is able to do that. So just wanted to monitor. If he's unable to go, I would expect that Mike Williams' value will skyrocket. Hopefully he can string together a game like he consistently did at the beginning of this year after kind of going dormant through the middle parts of the season. Eric, Adam Thielen, we know he was dealing with an ankle sprain. Do we have any updates on him?
You know, not really. You know, I think that just given the nature of the injury, there's a chance that he suits up for this game. But if I were the Vikings, I would let him rest another week. I mean, that's what he really needs. And he is a 31-year-old athlete, so he's not going to bounce back as quickly as some of these 21-year-old rookies. You know, as a fantasy manager, I'd be watching the weekly injury report. But, you know, the Vikings could very easily lean on Justin Jefferson again, even if Thielen does suit up. So, you know, I'm not that optimistic about his usage should he play, but I think that he really could play this week.
Yeah, he absolutely could. And I mean, even still, like you said, Justin Jefferson is somebody they lean on regardless of if Thielen's there or not. He had 15 targets this week without Thielen, but KJ Osborne was able to string together a long touchdown. He only caught three passes, but he had one that went for a long touchdown, and that's all you need sometimes. So KJ Osborne's the second option there if Thielen's not able to go. Matthew, this one kind of made me sad because I was enjoying watching him this season. Elijah Moore in New York dealing with a quad injury. When are we going to see him back, if anytime soon at all?
Well, unfortunately, he was placed on IR with his quad injury, womp womp, which really sucks because he was really coming alive and making plays. And I mean, honestly, was even, I know he's a dynasty darling, but even in redraft was very much startable the last second half of the season that has been happening. So he'll miss, let's see, I believe this last week counted as 1 week, so he'll list at least two more games. So at that point, for fantasy season, unless you're in the championship, you're not going to have him playing the rest of the year. And even then, it's iffy on if he'll be back by that point. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised that the Jets just kind of shut him down for the rest of the year or say, nope, you're not playing unless you're absolutely 100% no doubt in our mind healthy. So we'll see, but you're not getting him for at least another 2 weeks now. Yeah. So
yeah, not playing for much. It's not really worth rushing back a rookie that's played so well for you and is likely a big part of your future. If you're just really hurting for a wide receiver and you're looking for an option, it's looking like Braxton Berrios is kind of filled into the slot role there. Got a lot of targets this week. Somebody that obviously Zach Wilson feels like he can rely on. So not a bad option in PPR leagues if you're desperate for a flex player. Somebody that I've been relying on all year that just put up a big old donut this week, Eric, we talked about Washington's offense being out of sorts. So Terry McLaurin just fell apart this week and then ends up with a concussion. So what's going on?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, the injury looked pretty bad. You know, He got up right away. He looked like he was in a ton of pain. This isn't the kind of thing that you can rush back. We saw this before with CeeDee Lamb, where he got close to fulfilling the protocol and just really couldn't make it past that last step. I mean, the team is in playoff contention. They want him back, but this isn't something that the team or Terry can rush. He's going to be subject to, you know, an independent neurologist. So, you know, you're just going to have to, you know, check in literally every day to see, you know, how Terry McLaurin is doing, try and read into some coach speak. But, you know, I think anytime you get an injury like this, you really have to be wary about his availability for next week and just start to basically, you know, plan to be without him.
Yeah. I want to monitor in Washington. The only name to know, in my opinion, really is Adam Humphries at the receiver position there. DeAndre Carter's another one who's kind of flashed this week. Cam Sims, I think, caught a touchdown, but it's been really sporadic in that offense. And with Taylor Heinicke possibly on the ropes this week, I don't know that there's really any receivers that I'm.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like Curtis Samuel is getting healthier. I think that his snap count has been okay. He might have a blow up game sometime to end the season, but no way, you know, are you going to rely on him to just come out of the blue and perform for you unless you're really desperate?
My brother and I always laugh at my dad watching Braves games growing up. Anytime there's a player in a slump, we would look at each other and just wait for him. He would always say, he's due when a player come up. And if anybody was ever due for a good game, it is Curtis Samuel. So Walton Allen would look at him and say, he's due. All righty, moving on to the tight end position. Matthew, TJ Hockenson in Detroit dealing with a hand injury. What's the latest with Hawk?
So he missed last game, and there's really not a whole lot of info on the injury itself. They've just labeled it a hand injury, which, what does that mean? Who knows? Does it just a bad bruise to his hand? Is there a fracture? Did he strain something in his hand? Is there a tendon? I don't know. But it caused him to miss the last game. He hasn't been put on IR, so that's kind of good news that they don't expect it to be a long-term injury. But also, this, once again, is a team that is not competing, well, unless they're competing for the first pick in the draft, I guess.
Hey, that's important.
So for them, you don't really, in my opinion, want to rush back your probably best offensive player at this point in time, but we'll just have to wait and see kind of how he practices this week and how it goes. But I wouldn't be surprised if he misses another week, but we'll just have to see. I don't have a lot of info on the injury itself because they're just labeling it a hand injury and calling it that. So we'll see.
Yeah, in his absence, Amon-Ra St. Brown has finally stepped up. The sun god himself.
The sun god.
The Debbie Dirtbag. I'm sure Amon-Ra is ecstatic. Over the past 2 weeks, he's had 18 receptions for 159 yards and a touchdown. He's been good the last 2 weeks. A solid DFS play because he's not super expensive, but really a good spot start option. He's put up wide receiver 2-3 numbers the past couple of weeks, and I feel like moving forward, I feel comfortable with relying on him as a flex option if needed. I'm not too proud to say it. Our last guy on the list here, Eric, Darren Waller, still dealing with a knee injury in Vegas. When can we expect to see him return?
Yeah, I mean, I thought that he had a fair chance to play last week and he didn't. So I think that he'll be out there this week or at the latest next week. I mean, the team really needs him. And he is approaching that point in the injury timeline where he should be ready to suit up whenever his pain is at a tolerable level. You know, I think it's really reasonable to say that, you know, he was just kind of on the cusp of playing last week and they decided, hey, let's just give him one more week. So, you know, I would look for him to be out there this week.
Yeah, certainly somebody that the Raiders would be excited to get back. In his absence, Foster Moreau's filling in at the tight end position, but doesn't offer a ton for fantasy purposes. So not a lot to be super excited about in Las Vegas right now. That's all we got for injuries as we sit. If we left anybody out, feel free to tweet at any of us, all of us, tweet at Rider Dynasty on Twitter and let us know who we missed or who you want to hear about throughout the week. We're happy to fill you in with some updates. But before we go, let's get to some trivia, boys. How we feeling? A lot of points on the board right now. I've got to pull up my question real quick. I got to make sure I read this correctly so as to avoid confusion. Before we go, just a quick score update. Matthew is still leading by 2. It is 14-12, Matthew, currently on the season. All righty. You boys ready?
Yes.
Let's do it. This time of year, around the holidays, we all like to celebrate family. So let's talk about the three favorite teams of this next man up family. So I'm a Patriots fan. Eric is a Washington football team fan. And Matthew is a fan of the Dallas Cowboys. So the question for you, for 1 point each, gentlemen, can you name the winningest head coach in the history of each of those franchises? Washington, Dallas, and New England. So I'm looking for three names, the winningest coach from each. Franchise history, not under their current name for Washington.
Okay, I remember. I was about to say my grandpa's going to be so mad at me.
Oh, shit. I mean,
one of these should be easy. The winningest head coach in the history of each of the following franchises. Washington, Dallas, and New England.
I can't even name the current head coach of Washington.
Really? I'm not sure. Yeah. He's a good guy here.
Riverboat Ron.
Okay.
And for a point each, so 3 points at stake here. So, Eric, you could take the lead on this question.
I'm planning on it.
No pressure, Matthew.
All right. Well, I've got my answer.
Alrighty, we got our answers ready to go.
All right. Let's go.
James Conner touchdown.
3, 2, 1. Send it.
Alrighty, gentlemen.
Ooh, you punted.
The correct answers
I don't know if I know it either.
For Washington at 154, Tom Landry for Dallas at 250, and Bill Belichick for the New England Patriots.
That's okay.
Eric gets all three with Gibbs, Belichick, and Landry. Matthew,
Joe Gibbs was like the only head coach that we could keep around for more than 2 years, man.
Tom Landry, Bill Belichick, and Washington.
We feel like I've never heard of
Joe Gibbs. Long time.
Yeah.
When I was researching for this question, he was there from 81 to 2007.
No idea.
Yeah. Not necessarily as a head coach. I don't know if he's a head coach that long, but that's a long time to be on one team staff.
Joe Gibbs one time kept a special play, handwritten on a note card in his back pocket for 5 years until he finally used it at the perfect time. And it was Clinton Portis up the middle.
What?
A-gap.
What?
I don't know if that last part is true, but I know that he ran Clinton Portis up the A-gap all the
That's
time.
That's hilarious.
Well, I don't feel like that would be a very secret play.
But he did the paper thing. That's true.
He invented the fake punt and just sat on the patent for 5 years.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
What if
we didn't kick it? Well, if you thought that was all for trivia, you were sorely mistaken. I always have a bonus question.
So
these three franchises, how many Super Bowls have they combined for?
Oh.
How many Super Bowls have the Washington, Dallas, and New England franchises combined to win in NFL history? Yes, Super Bowl wins, not total Super Bowls.
Is it like The Price is Right? Or you have to be right?
Yeah, I'll give a point to whoever's closest without going over.
Without going over, okay.
Ooh, that makes things interesting.
Wow, I think I know it, but I don't want to go over it.
Just do the math thing.
All right, I'm ready.
I'm ready. 3, 2, 1.
All righty. The correct answer is 14.
Dang it.
Let's go. So close. Matthew said 13. Eric said 11. So, gosh, we are just stuck at Matthew
Let's
up
go.
2 points. Matthew will be up 17-15 heading into
next week. So, Washington has won 3?
So Washington has won 3, Dallas has won 5, and New England has won 6.
I knew the Patriots and Cowboys. I thought Washington only won 2.
Dallas won 5. Jeez, man.
Yeah. It's been a minute, though. Don't tell them. All righty.
I didn't know that you could win that many.
Tom Brady has 7.
That's right. Hey, does that 7th one count for New England? Nah. All righty. Well, that's going to do it for us this week on the Next Man Up Injury Podcast. As always, let's close this thing out with our social media handles. Eric, where can we find you on the internet?
All right. I am the Nighthawk PT. You can find me on Twitter at @FF_Nighthawk.
Thank you. Matthew, where can we find you, sir?
You can find me on Twitter at Fantasy Ferret.
Alrighty, thanks for tuning in this week, guys. We have to give a special thank you to John C. from John C. Music for all of our intro and outro music. If you want to reach out to him to find music for your podcast, videos, or if you just want to listen to some cool jams, it is johncmusic@gmail.com. That's J-O-N-S-E-E music, no H in John. Thanks everyone that tuned into the live show tonight, especially during Monday Night Football. You are a trooper for tuning in with us, but I mean, I don't blame you. I'm sure we're much more entertaining than the Peyton and Eli shenanigans. If you're listening to this afterwards, sorry if that joke just went right over your head. Much like most of my jokes, it wasn't very funny. Anyways, best of luck in your matchups this week. Best of luck in the playoffs as you're going. If you have any questions, you're trying to get an update on somebody's availability, hit us up. We're happy to help. Before we go, always remember that the best ability is availability. Peace.
Adios.